XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Another protest is headed to the U.S. Capitol tonight. Truckers will be driving into town as part of a so-called freedom convoy protesting COVID mandates. That's where we're starting tonight. Also on deck, Black Lives Matter and racial justice in the courtroom, and the Russia-Ukraine crisis and what it means to us. We are at the Reporters Roundtable. My guests are Misha Green, D.C. editor of the Afro-American Newspapers, and Jamila Bay, D.C.-based journalist and digital manager of the Washington Informer. What do you have to say about these topics tonight? Join us at the Reporters Roundtable, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Misha, Jamila, thanks for joining the program again.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, so can we first talk about this freedom convoy? These truckers are emulating, copying what we saw in Ottawa, Canada, a couple of weeks or so ago. And they are protesting COVID mandates. But I would say that considering the fact that here in the U.S., mask mandates are dropping, things are opening up, is this too little too late to make their point, Misha?
Thank you for that question. You know, first of all, I want to say that the way the People's Convoy is beginning to organize is a little too reminiscent of the people who organized for January 6th. And so you have these really angry and frustrated people who are going against government, going against what has been put in place allegedly to protect us. And in this case, of course, not only are they protesting mask mandates, but also rising gas prices. And so they're really, really angry at the current president. And I am a little concerned about the level in which they hope to make their way here into the district. And so whether or not, to your question, it's too little too late, they're coming in with a force. I've seen articles about 40 to 50 trucks coming, following a convoy from Pennsylvania, and people are supposed to be coming all from out the country in order to shut down the Beltway. Now, there are reports saying now that they don't plan to shut down starting tomorrow, but of course, there are a lot of plans surrounding the State of the Union on March 1st. And so, again, whether or not they are sort of beginning this protest process a little too late after seeing what happened in Canada and being inspired by that, they are coming with a vengeance and saying that they don't plan on going anywhere in this 11-day track.
Yeah, Jamila, your thoughts about this?
When you leave an enemy standing, they can regroup, they get stronger, and then their kids get mad too. Everywhere in the world, and we'll talk about this in the Ukraine too, but we're going to get to that later. These are January 6th people who recognize that the government is on its heels in terms of dealing with these angry white people, overwhelmingly white people. And what they're doing, you know, Misha is absolutely correct. They're getting inspiration from our Francophone friends up north who made a spectacle of themselves, but not much else. Mask mandates are lifting. Restaurants are opening again. You need not, in many places in the country, show vaccination proof any longer. A lot of places, you walk in and it looks like 2019 all over again. These people are not concerned with that, and we do a disservice to ignore the sleeping bear in the room These are angry white folks who are looking for a fight. They are mad about a lot of things, and this is the convenient outlet that they have glommed on to. Why are they angry? They're angry that black woman with her Indian mama is sitting in the White House with Joe Biden, who was the vice president to that black man from 2008 until he left office in 2016. If we do not recognize that the way these people are organizing and there's a whole tech piece on how they're, you know, not all of them don't know how to use the internet, but the way they are organizing, this is coup part two. And were my child not already having a vacation break from school this week? Oh, there's no way we would be driving around where this convoy is planning to go, because of the threat of what we know these folks do.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are at the Reporters Roundtable talking about some of the top stories of the week. If you want to get in on this conversation, we'd love to hear from you. What do you think? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Jamila, to your point, this is not the Ottawa protest. Those truckers there were very, very different from what we are seeing here. Yeah, they were protesting COVID restrictions, mask mandates, and the like. And they had other economic issues that they were certainly concerned about. But I think that you are certainly dead on. You've got a lot of people who are just ticked off just to be ticked off and don't seem to have anything else better to do. D.C. Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton said earlier today, after her briefing with U.S. Capitol Police, that there was just a whole lot of chatter, but nothing really specific. Just people just ticked off.
Popping off at the mouth because they can.
Yeah, or at right. Or at the wheel, as it were.
As it were. But, you know, again, to Jamila and your point, Harold, is that, again, that is a problem. Though they are rebels without a cause, and though they really don't have much of a guidance and a plan on really how they intend to successfully protest and get the president's attention on March 1st before the State of the Union, because there's not really anything tactful, again, you're looking at something like January 6th, where just a lot of people are really angry and have all of these hate-filled sort of reasonings for going about these things. I mean, it could get very dangerous.
Well, one of the things that we saw from those who are planning on driving across the country from California, there was this cry of freedom, which I just found that, you know, pre-Jamila, to just be bizarre, and I just find that to be so, you know, so interesting. That yes, a lot of folks are upset about gas prices. It cost me $50 to fill up my tank today. I was not happy about that. And yes, I will be part of my daily convoy from Baltimore to D.C. tomorrow because I'm coming to work. I will not be protesting, you know, but you know, I think the president said that he wants to have the federal gas tax suspended. That's some 18 cents or so. That's it in the grand scheme of things, that's I don't think that's going to do a whole lot.
So then here's the thing, and I'm not going to go into a critical race theory rant, but
oh, you have time.
Oh, good, I got time. Okay, we're going to talk about how this is about critical race theory and
yes, please
fear
go ahead.
Anybody learning anything.
I'm here for CRT. Always here for the CRT conversation.
You should see the shirt I'm wearing. It says critical race theorist down the front, and I only wear it when I'm in places where I'm the only one wearing a mask. I do it to provoke. But, but if people in school, I guess you would call them students, learned and paid attention to the way in which U.S. commerce works, okay, forget all that. They're not going to do that. Let's be blunt. My family, my friends, you who have senators and congresspeople, I'm in D.C. I don't have that luxury. You need to be pressing your elected officials about how much oil and gas money they get donated to their campaigns. Our alleged gatekeepers of health and safety and sanity are in the pockets of these multi-billion dollar profiteers that are killing the planet for fun and lining their pockets. They're every single organization, institution, I guess you call them a petroleum company or, you know, whatnot. Every single one of them that does business in the U.S. has turned a profit through the pandemic. There is no reason that our gas prices at the pump should be as high as they are. We do not have the supply chain issues that even we saw after Hurricane Katrina and such, you know, 15 years ago. That's frightening. This is profiteering. This is carpetbaggery at its finest. But the difference in, you know, carpetbagger people is that they eventually run out of land to claim. Here, we run out of planet, and that's what we've left to our children. It's not about, oh, well, I had to pay too much at the pump, so I'm going to drive from California to D.C. and only stop at truck stops where we know the prices are inflated, because that makes a lot of sense. This is just ignorance and stupidity at its finest, yeah. Behind the wheel. At the wheel.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are at the Reporters Roundtable talking about some of the top stories of the week. Kelly, calling from Laurel, what's on your mind?
Yes, hi, everyone. Hi. I just want to make a comment about these truckers who are coming from Pennsylvania as well as all over the nation. I think there should be some type of contingency plan for these domestic terrorists that are trying to, everyone's allowed to express their First Amendment rights. However, these are domestic terrorists to me. And I think that every governor in the country should have some kind of plan and alert their state troopers and local police department that if they come close to this area or anywhere, you know, near what they're trying to insurrect again, then they need to be punished to the full extent of the law. There should be some kind of plan in place. This we're already dealing with other issues outside of the country, but we have to be invaded by our own, citizens that we, I mean, this is ridiculous. It has to be some kind of, I believe, contingency plan at a higher level to protect people, because that should never, ever happen again, something similar to January 6th. How dare they try to come and block an interstate, a federal highway.
You know, yes.
How dare they? You know, they were black people. They were majority black. Then believe me, it would be bloodshed everywhere. They wouldn't even allow them to come even close to the Capitol.
Yeah. Kelly, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much for your comment. Yep. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are at the Reporters Roundtable talking about some of the top stories of the week. Yes, we are talking about the truckers protest heading to the nation's capital today. Also, we are talking about Black Lives Matter racial justice issues in the courts this week. The Ahmaud Arbery case. Of course, we now have the Breonna Taylor case, but not really. Also, in the courts right now, we're going to be discussing that as well. And also, we are going to be talking about the crisis in Ukraine. Ukraine once again in the news. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So one of the things, do you believe, Misha, that D.C. is prepared? You know, Chief Conte was on January 6th had only been on the job for a day or so when we saw the insurrection. And so here we are again, another big protest. D.C. National Guard called out, but from all reports, they are supposed to be only dealing with traffic and not armed. Some 400 members of the D.C. National Guard, and then we have 300 from elsewhere. I want you to talk about that on the other side, and we will be talking to our listeners as well. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, channel 141. And don't forget, you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. If you are on the phone, stay with us. We are going to come to you as well. The Daily Drum will continue in just a few seconds. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are at the Reporters Roundtable talking about some of the top stories of the week. Of course, we're discussing the trucker protests heading to D.C. at this very moment. Also, Black Lives Matter, racial justice issues in the courtrooms this week. Also, the Russia-Ukraine crisis. My guests are Misha Green, D.C. editor of the Afro-American Newspapers, and Jamila Bay, D.C.-based journalist and digital manager of the Washington Informer. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Misha, is D.C. ready?
D.C. is not ready. I applaud the sort, or rather, applaud is not the word. I acknowledge the outward action of showing that they are trying to prepare, or at least look as if they can give sort of some sort of comfort to Washingtonians and people here in the DMV as they travel along the highway. However, not having armed National Guard is concerning. Only traffic control is concerning. These people, yes, are talking about shutting down the Beltway, but these, as we've said before, are the same people who were at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. If they're not those folks who are getting a slap on the wrist, to Jamila's point earlier, they are the little brothers and sisters of those folks, and they're angry and rebels without a cause, and the district has not done the things in place to protect whiny babies. There's no fencing plan decided yet for the Capitol. And we have the State of the Union just a week away. I mean, these are things that need to be in place. We know who we're dealing with. Yes, Chief Conte was only in his position a few weeks, so when January 6th happened. However, look at where we are today. He's been in this position long enough to know the folks who he's dealing with. And so in knowing that, they need to do the things necessary, and just showing faith by putting a few people unarmed from the National Guard is not the way to go. As someone who was present daily during the protests in what is now Black Lives Matter Plaza in 2020, there were far more than 400 members of the National Guard, and they had tons of guns and ammunition ready to go. And they were doing far more than traffic control. And those were peaceful protesters. Again, the district knows who they're dealing with, and they're not prepared for who they're dealing with. These are terrorists. Mm.
Teresa, calling from Reston, Virginia. Teresa, what's on your mind?
Good evening, everyone. I just want to say, let's not be fooled. This is funded by dark money. The Mercers, possibly the Koch, This is just what happened in Canada. You know, most of those white working poor people cannot afford to be driving trucks across the country, just like in Canada. We need to the DOJ needs to follow the money. It's all dark money. This is exactly what happened in Canada, January 6th as well. I don't know. At the end of the day, we're going to see it was Mercer, Republican, dark, racist money that funded these projects.
Okay. Teresa, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Claude, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having the show on the topic. I just want to say to everybody, we just have to keep being strong. I think it is such an assault on the senses that this is coming to our city, which, you know, formerly was Chocolate City, but to our city, to come and just insult all of us. After the pandemic was ending, the mask mandates were, you know, were coming off. It was finally starting to get some comfort. And here are these truckers are coming. And I was listening to it the other night, and it was so hurtful that this was coming to block us trying to get back to work. You know, on top of Russia invading, I mean, it's such an assault on the senses. And I wanted to say we have to play the long game, because immediately I was angry. I wanted to get my eggs. I wanted to go by the highway and just start egg. I mean, just, but these people are racist. That, you know, they're not just coming because of taxes. They're coming because of immigration, all these racist things that they are upset about. They don't like Biden, lock up Hillary still. I mean, these are crazy people coming, and they're coming with guns. They, you know, they're going to be followed by protection. The guys are coming from California. They're just going to bring a whole huge wave of crazies here. So I just want to say, be safe, play the long game, let them show themselves who they are, and we just have to be strong and keep ourselves safe. That's what I wanted to say to everybody.
Claude, thank you so much for your comments. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let us talk about these racial justice issues happening in the courts. Of course, we saw the federal hate crimes trial in the Ahmaud Arbery case. That was a big win when it comes to issues of race. I'll let you start, Jamila. Your thoughts about that this week?
I will never allow myself to claim that justice is done in the context of the fact that it's still pretty flipping easy to kill a black person in this country and not have to account for that, what you've done. This was particularly egregious because we know that the only reason these three stood trial, the only reason these three, 2 months after Mr. Arbery was laid to rest, even got arrested, was because the neighbor, William Roddy Bryant, he put out the cell phone video that he took while he hunted down and helped to murder this man. He thought that would exonerate him, and so he did that, and the rest of the country that's sort of moved on to where the average black person has always been able to say, whoa, you killed that man in cold blood. The idea that these particular hate crime indictments will be handed down means a turning point. I don't see that. I see that the low-hanging fruit, the most egregious of these, the, you know, knee on the neck, the chasing with the car, the
you know, the reminiscent of James Byrd Jr., the black man who was dragged behind pickup truck in Texas. You know, those kinds of things. Oh, we're not going to let that stand. White boy takes a automatic rifle and goes and picks off some, you know, some white folks who are demonstrating in league with the Black Lives Matter. Oh, well, he's just a boy who was defending himself and protecting private property, don't you know? Taser. Do you think she's going to do those few months that she got pretending that she grabbed her service? She meant to grab her taser, and she grabbed her service weapon. Please. Any time when it comes down to keeping people in check who will stand up for black lives, these it's the modern day Cheney, Goodman, and Schwerner, you know, the freedom riders, the Jewish freedom riders, and the one brother who was killed trying to get black people to vote in the South in the 1960s. Those kinds of crimes, you know, a harsh pointing at, maybe, but no real time. We are so starved for justice that we jump up and down at the specter of it. But this is not justice yet, not by a long shot. This is the letter of the law being so impeccably disregarded that even Stevie Wonder can draw a picture of it.
Your thoughts, Misha, because Wanda Cooper Jones said earlier this week, yesterday, as a matter of fact, that she was not happy with Kristen Clark, who was head of the Civil Rights Division, in attempting to strike a plea deal with the men in her son's you know, hate crimes case. Is Jamila right in that regard?
Yeah, you know, it is definitely a thing to point out, and excuse my dogs in the back going crazy. I'm sure another dog is on a walk on this beautiful evening, and they're hating because I'm working. But, you know, I think Jamila is absolutely right. We've come to a place where we are so excited in celebrating when just fair justice is served and we see it again and are able to acknowledge justice being served because these cases are so egregious. And so, you know, I'm not going to say I don't celebrate it because Ahmaud Arbery did deserve justice. But the fact of the matter is we're talking about Breonna Taylor's murder only in the case of someone else who did not lose their life, only in the case of potential danger of her other neighbors. Again, as Ella Baker famously said, until the killing of black men, black mothers' sons becomes as important to the rest of the country as the killing of white mothers' sons, we who believe in freedom cannot rest. And so, you know, yes, we are still sick and tired of being sick and tired because at the end of the day, there are so many people who still don't have justice. And I think, again, looking at this trend of people finally getting a semblance of the justice they deserve and not in all cases, as we saw in the case of Kim Porter. But I do think that we still have such a long way to go. And so while we can celebrate the small victories, the reality is the racism is still rampant. People are still being unfairly shot if they're not getting murdered by police and arrested by police and targeted by police simply because of their color of the skin every single day.
Well, I would say two points. Were it not for video of bystanders in the George Floyd situation, the George Floyd murder, if it were not for video taken by William Roddy Bryan. Who knows where those cases would have ended up, if anywhere at all? Because, as you said, William Roddy Bryan leaked that video to exonerate himself. It was self-serving. He didn't release the video to say, "See what was done here, this terrible thing." First of all, and so if it were not for that video, it is very likely that, as you said, there would not have been a prosecution in the Arbery case. And I'm really interested in finding, seeing what will happen to the prosecutor who had to recuse herself initially because, you know, she did not choose to prosecute the McMichaels and Bryan originally. And so that case is certainly still pending. But in the case of George Floyd's murder, remember the initial statement by the Minneapolis Police Department was that George Floyd died as a result of a medical incident. That's how it was described. I'm paraphrasing here, but it was described as a medical incident. And if it were not for the video, then it's very likely that we would not have had a Derek Chauvin conviction. And I would also say that, and this is kind of an aside, and this just happening today, but you know, Virginia's Governor Glenn Youngkin discontinuing the program that acknowledges African American heroes in the state of Virginia with, you know, roadside plaques, locator plaques. I think to the point that if you don't care, that's one of those microaggressions. It stings a little, but the truth of the matter is it stings a lot because Black people have gone and have come so far to be recognized and not stigmatized, and to have that kind of thing removed and to add insult to injury during Black history, I think that speaks volumes, Jamila.
Oh, absolutely. Let's make it clear. I mean, the birthplace, the heartbeat of the Confederacy is the Commonwealth of Virginia. I have property there where there's still Confederate statues in the town squares. I'm looking at you, Luray, Virginia. You know, Confederate flags as far as the eye can see. This is not about this fight over critical race theory and these fights about, oh, well, we're going to take our country back and we want freedom. It is the desperate cry of people who are angry that anybody else is daring to assert, hey, I matter too. Hey, I belong here. I'm America's son. You know, the brilliant guitarist whose name just left me as soon as I started thinking of the song. Anyhow, these bills in state legislatures across the country, these measures coming up out of these school boards all around the country, these parents popping off that how dare my child have to read something where we think about what it means that Sally Hemings was not just enslaved, but she was a child. She was a child being carried to a different continent on a boat by a man who claimed to love her. We call that grooming and abuse, and that is sexual violence. Yeah, I know that's the name of the school you go to, but let's think about what that really means. You know, people are angry that we have to ask those questions. Some of us have been asking those questions since we got here. You know, some of our children don't have the luxury of waiting until it's appropriate to discuss racism with the child. It's foisted upon them when they're ill-prepared and they're just young and tender, but because of how they look, that's what shapes the way other people see and treat them. So, you know, to bring this back here, anything coming out of Virginia, I'm side-eyeing, because this Trump handpicked governor was a protest vote in a lot of ways. If we can't have Trump in office, we'll have one of his, you know, one of his appointees, his devotees, his, you know, sycophant bootlickers. I don't know what the proper synonym would be, but Virginia has been the heartbeat of the Confederacy since that horrible and very short-lived historical movement came to be.
I want to move on before we run out of time. We've got to talk a little bit about this Russia-Ukraine situation. This just coming out, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky making a televised address urging Russian citizens to oppose the war. There are hundreds of thousands of Russian troops amassed at the northern, southern, and eastern border of Ukraine. President Biden ordering the movement of American troops already stationed in Europe, mostly in Poland, to move to protect NATO interests. This is a mess, Misha. This is frightening. The thought of war in Europe again, it is at the very least a very, very disturbing, and it is. I just don't know what to say about it, because I think that, you know, you may have some black people who may say, well, you know, why are we doing this? This doesn't have anything to do with me. But the truth of the matter is that it has to do with all of us, and when the world is unsettled, we are unsettled as well. Your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely, Harold. You know, I think Ukraine is a perfect time for us to see how the United States really becomes affected by all of these things. And so, you know, while I'm sure that there are those saying, why should we care about this, is that at the end of this day, the United States is already becoming in conversations, in deep conversations about how they are going to intervene and work into this. And it's terrifying. As the Pope said earlier today, it pains his heart. I mean, it's really heartbreaking to consider us being in such hard and war-torn times. Of course, in the United States, we have our own major systemic and institutionalized issues that create a lot of conflict. However, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people and potentially hundreds of thousands of lives lost. And the Ukraine is not playing and Russia is not playing games. Putin is not playing games. And the Ukrainian president is now just doing all he can to make these heartfelt pleas, not only to Russia and to Putin, but to the residents at this juncture. Because, I mean, it's scary. Today alone, Ukrainian leaders said that now there's been cyber war and cyber attacks happening, and a lot of malicious software appeared on hundreds of computers in the Ukraine on Wednesday. I mean, that's just terrifying. Security being destroyed, people's information getting messed up. I mean, and again, because the U.S. is intervening, this totally can have an effect on us, and it already is. The president's talking about troops being deployed. And so we have to keep an eye out on this, people, for sure.
You know, Jamila, just kind of thinking back on some parallels here, you look at the way that this was just pushed and the manipulation that that Putin has driven as it relates to the so-called breakaway regions in Ukraine, and it just makes me think of Germany attacking Czechoslovakia in 1939.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh, absolutely.
And then, of course, then moving on, to Poland, and of course, starting, World War II in Europe. And I think that is the thing that makes me nervous. And let me draw the big black folks parallel here. Because one of the things that we've been hearing a lot now, we're talking about history and the fact that some members of the community don't want to talk about black history because it makes you feel uncomfortable. Okay, well, if that makes you feel uncomfortable, then should you also not examine what happened in 1939 with Germany attacking Czechoslovakia? Because that should make you also uncomfortable. And just as important as the triumphs and the horrors of black history. And you know what they say, if you don't remember history, you're doomed to repeat it. And I just think that we are seeing the same kind of parallel. No matter how far apart those lines are, black history, American history, world history, we are in a world of hurt if we don't remember and we do not watch what happens right here and right now with Russia and Ukraine, Jamila.
Absolutely. I'll make a couple very quick points. Number one, the Nazis under Hitler decided how they would treat and categorize the Jews by looking to Jim Crow South. Right here in the U.S. You got family in Mississippi. They were the guinea pigs for what Hitler would study to figure out how to keep down in perpetuity an ethnic population that he did not like. Now, a colonizer takes from a colonizer. The plan is the same, which is why you're thinking Poland. You see, very quickly and glossing over a lot, the Ukrainians were a different people. And when we think of the Russian pogroms of the 1850s and such, yes, they killed Jews, but they killed a whole lot of ethnic Ukrainians as well. Why? That's where your oil is. That's where your forest is. That's where your natural resources of the day were. In the 20s and the 30s, you had these campaigns to go in and kill Ukrainians. And who did they put in there? They moved ethnic Russians from Russia into the Ukraine to sing the song, oh, we are one people, we are here, you are here, we are here, la, la, la. That ain't what's happening. Those are people who are being pulled away and exterminated as the Ukrainian prime minister lets people know. Yes, there's a reason that about a third of Ukraine speaks Russian as its first language. Those are the colonizers that went over there and did what colonizers do. It's going to be messy. And if we don't recognize that, we are doomed to repeat what we've already seen happen in Europe before. This is a KGB thug who's the Russian president. What do you think he's trying to do?
Yeah, I mean, and I know there's been all of this discussion about, the expansion of NATO. And of course, the United States and its allies think that all of that is certainly, a ruse. And that is not a new argument about Russia complaining about that. And we could go deep into this. And we're going to be talking about this more next week as well on this program. China's just kind of sitting on the sidelines, not saying a whole lot. But I just think that this Putin just a couple of days ago recognizing these two parts of Ukraine is very, very similar in my mind to the annexation of Czechoslovakia in 1939 by Hitler. I think that, as I said, unless there is some kind of way to fix this, the world will definitely be certainly in a world of hurt. It's frightening, and we are going to continue to watch this. Misha Green, Jamila Bey, thank you both for joining us. We've got a lot to contend with over the next few hours and days. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for having us.
That is the Daily Drum for this Wednesday, February 23rd. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.